What was that again? So I didn't quite catch that.
I said, this is your boy here coming to you live from Detroit Rock City. Except it's not Detroit Rock City. It's a house in Van Nuys.
That's right, because we're keeping it fresh here on the Life and Times of a Peon in Hollywood. Welcome to episode 3, everyone.
Were you recording that?
I did just record that.
Oh my god. Alright, in case you have any angry letters for us, the address to send them to is, lotpih@gmail.com?
LATPIH@gmail.com.
Please feel free to send us hate mail. We can read it on the air and entertain ourselves.
That's right, and we will give out your email address when we do so. But if it's nice email and, you know, you feel like talking to us, you want to give us a little bit of a constructive criticism, feel free. That address again was LATPIH@gmail.com.
Well, I guess I should say, happy Monday, everyone.
Yes.
Today is the first day after the summer solstice, which means that we are approaching, I don't know, do you consider the summer solstice the halfway point of the year? Because it's technically
I guess it really depends on who you ask. Like, for my religious beliefs, yes, it is the halfway point for the entire year.
All right. Well, I mean, we're close enough. I can't believe it. 2015 is, like, halfway through 2015. What the fuck happened?
Avengers 2, Jurassic World, Mad Max Fury Road.
I really enjoyed that movie. Can I just say something right now?
Fantastic movie.
I recently have been seeing this commercial for Jurassic World, and every time it like plays the music, the only thing I think
really
of
really slow.
The only thing I can think of is, holy fucking shit, it's a dinosaur, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
It's a perfect. Perfect setup for your brain to do that. Just like anytime I hear the intro to Game of Thrones now, all I hear is, wiener, 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 wiener.
So, how about that season finale of Game of Thrones?
We'll talk about that in a second, but while we are on the subject of Game of Thrones, let's jump into my new favorite segment that has been retooled for my own pleasure and your own pleasure. What are we drinking tonight?
Yep, I like to call this segment, this new part of the segment, What's in the Bag?
That's right. What's in the bag?
So, Mickey, since you actually know what you're drinking, would you like to start us off?
I would. Continuing with the Game of Thrones theme, I am actually drinking the limited run Game of Thrones Three-Eyed Raven Dark Saison Ale that came out for Season 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a company called Omegang. They, apparently every year since season one, they've put out a limited edition brew, and each one's been a different type of beer, and it's been themed and everything. Like, they had Stark Ale, I think, for season 3. Mm-hmm. It was a nice, dark, hearty stout and everything.
So, what's the name of this company again, in case they want to give us a sponsorship?
Omegang Brewery from Cooperstown, New York.
Hmm, interesting.
Yes, and I gotta tell you, the Three-Eyed Raven, if you can find it, get it, because it is fucking delicious.
Hmm, sounds good.
Now, the other half of this that we have now implemented, starting tonight, is What's in the Bag. And that is where every week we will be switching off and buying a mystery beer for our other co-host. So Jason tonight has a brown bag. He hasn't gotten to see what's in it, nor will he get to see what's in it until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be checking in with him continuously through the episode to see what he thinks. So, first impressions, Jason.
That is hoppy. I smell some hops in there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a sippy sip, sippity sip, sip, sip of. I feel like a big drunk baby right now.
It is a big
interesting
bottle.
This tastes like an IPA.
Close.
It's an ale. This is ale.
It is definitely an ale.
This is ale.
It's definitely an ale.
I may be ignorant on a lot of things beer related, but
you know a good ale when you taste
it. Yeah, you can taste it. Mm. It's a little kind of toasty, dark, like my soul.
Well, we'll find out here at the end, won't we?
Did I already say the part where I feel like a big drunk baby from having like tipping the bottle up into my mouth as I drink?
Yes, you did.
Just picture that at home.
Nice big old bottle, bigger than Jason's smaller maw. He has to two-hand tip it into his mouth.
I just think it's more sophisticated that way, and also the paper bag. Like, if you one-hand a paper bag full of booze, you just, you know.
You run a real risk of dropping that on my couch and me killing you.
No, I was just going to say, it makes me feel like a wino, and I'm not a wino, so.
There's a big difference between a drunk and a wino?
Mm-hmm.
Much like there's a big difference between a wino and a rhino.
No, I found that they are thematically similar.
Both charge you in anger when there's no real reason?
No, I was going to say because they have horns growing out of their face.
Oh, well, shit, that too, I guess.
Have you never seen... Have you seen that guy? The guy... No, I'm serious. Okay, there's a guy on Sherman Way, and he has a fucking rhinoceros horn sticking out of his head. No, I've seen, like...
seen this.
No, okay, so... I was coming back from the store the other day. I had to I recently have stopped eating meat, so I decided I'm gonna eat seitan, which
I'm gonna eat Satan,
yeah, because you know, as we all know, vegetarianism is it's kind of like meat actually. For any of you don't know, seitan is basically meat made out of gluten to really, you know, confuse a lot of vegans. Anyway,
I really thought you were maybe like blowing some guy who just told you his name was seitan.
I mean, yeah, that happened, but we didn't need to bring that up on the radio, Mickey.
Hey, how you get your protein is not my business.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Anyway, I need to tell you about the guy with the rhino horn on his face, and you need to stop making those suggestive dick-sucking noises. Anyway.
Rhino face.
This is rhino face. I was coming back from Whole Foods. By the way, fuck Whole Foods. I'm just going to say that right now on the air.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck Whole Foods.
Unless they want to sponsor us.
They don't want to sponsor us. I wouldn't take their blood money anyway.
Fair enough.
These bastards. Fucking Trader Joe's is so much better of a store than this because, like, you go in there. I said, fucking, they had the quinoa at fucking Whole Foods. $10. Can you believe that shit? Like, nobody even knew what quinoa was 5 years ago. And now everyone's like, I have to eat it because, well, everyone else is. Do you ever wonder about that? Like, there's just... Rhino face, anyway.
Yeah, back to rhino face. Before we go into your tirade about superfoods.
So, this guy, I was driving down the street.
Yeah.
And I looked out of my window, and there was this guy panhandling. And first of all, the fact that he was wearing a Christmas sweater stuck out to me, but not as much as it stuck out to me the fact that this guy had a rhinoceros horn growing out of the space between the tip of his nose and his forehead. Okay.
Was it maybe a tumor?
No, it was a rhinoceros horn, because he then put his head down and charged my vehicle, and I would have been lost if a group of three South African gentlemen hadn't jumped out of the local Springbok pub and shot him to death, cut the horn off his face, and sold it to the local Chinese grocer as an aphrodisiac.
Damn it, that was a long walk for a small drink of water.
That's what those South African hunters said.
Oh my god!
After they finished removing the horn from this guy's face, they didn't even stop to ask. It was like, where did this majestic creature come from? Could it have been possible he was a human unicorn? A human. That's what you call it, yeah.
A humicorn?
A humicorn.
Because it's a unicorn and a human, so would it be a huminicorn?
A huminicorn. I don't know. Anyway, that guy died like a bitch. They shot him like a dog in the street and cut his horn off to sell as an aphrodisiac. Ben, that is so weird to me. It's like, look, I understand a lot of like traditional Chinese medicine, but the idea that you can like cut off various parts of animal, grind them into dust, and it will make your dick hard is like the I don't know what lot like does the like the ancient Chinese sage was like sitting around and was like tiger's blood. Boner. Rhino horn. Boner. Crocodile dung. Boner.
Hey,
heart of an ibis?
Wait. Crocodile dung is a major ingredient in a lot of eyeshadow.
Really?
Yes. So, when applied properly, boner.
Bone. I don't know. The way this humanity is today, you apply anything properly and boner. No, you apply anything improperly and boner. I was just thinking about this.
I mean, I applied KY in the wrong spot and boner.
That's...
Get it? Because it's boner.
I was thinking about this the other day, man. I was like, did you ever notice how, like... Ignore that.
That was just Jason leveling up.
That was me leveling up because I have a really stupid thought that I now have to inflict upon everyone.
It's okay. Only your speed stat increased.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's fine. That's why I drink coffee. Anyway, So I was just thinking about this. Is like, did you ever notice how, like, whenever someone gets busted sexing up an animal, they always describe it as inappropriate relations?
No, I've never noticed that, but that's because I've never known anyone to, you know, sex up an animal.
Well, I am a connoisseur of weird news, and it seems that a lot of people seem to get busted for copulating with animals. And the thing is, they always describe it as inappropriate relations or something like that. And I was like, how do you have appropriate relations with an animal? Do you just...
Excuse me. Sorry, the three-eyed raven's rearing its ugly head.
Oh, yeah. How would you have an appropriate relationship with a three-eyed raven, Mickey?
Allow it to come in my house and shit?
We were just talking about this outside before we started the podcast, and that is... That I disclosed to Mickey that I would pay money to see someone who had trained a bird to shit in a toilet. And this is kind of a tall order because, you know, birds have the tendency of shitting everywhere. That's what they do. That's why they evolved the way that they did. I don't know if you're mocking me or my appreciation of seeing animals do human stuff.
I do love me a good human animal. So, Jason, before we digress much further, I believe you had something to talk about. Because we want to stick to... You got anything you want to talk about? Any subject?
Yeah, I want to talk about something.
What do you want to talk about? Did you suck on your baby bottle?
I feel like I'm seriously being attacked right now just because I expressed some thoughts about seeing a bird defecating. And I don't know if I want to continue this podcast.
Listen, I just came out to attack a lot of people, and I'm having such a glorious day. What a lovely day.
What a lovely day! Oh, man. You know what? If I was the, I realized something about that movie, man.
What's that?
Every time one of the war boys was about to do something suicidal and he crowed himself, essentially, like, if they were just basically saying, like, YOLO, and then spraying their mouths chrome and then dying.
Yeah, that's...
That's essentially what was happening.
That's the gist of the movie.
No, actually, it totally was not. I am completely full of shit, because they're going to live again in Valhalla, so YOLT.
YOLT. You only live twice?
YOLTIV. You only live twice in Valhalla.
No, in Valhalla, you live eternal.
Yeah, but doesn't that count as what... I don't know, it's...
Well, I mean, there's different theories. The thought process on Valhalla was that you went there, you ate a whole lot of really good food, and you battled a great battle because that was considered fun. And then you died in Valhalla, was resurrected again in the Great Hall, and you went out and fought again.
Yeah, but what happened after Ragnarok? Weren't they like, yeah, after Ragnarok, everything's fucked up? Like,
Ragnarok is the end of the world.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, doesn't that kind of, you know, encompass, you know, doesn't the Norse cosmology kind of encompass that? I was never really that strong on Norse mythology.
I mean, I'm not the greatest mind in it, but I'm pretty decently versed.
Yeah. That's the thing, is, like, I trust your knowing of it more than mine, because the only thing I know is, like, Loki getting knocked up by a horse.
That's more comics. I think you're mixing up your Marvel mythology with
No, this is the thing that happens in Norse mythology. Loki takes on the form of a mare, gets knocked up, and gives birth to the six-legged horse Sleipnir.
Which is the devil.
This is a thing in Norse mythology, man.
No, I know, I'm saying, that's the devil.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But anyways, we digress.
Six-legged horses, man. Anyway, I want to talk about something, and I feel like it encompasses a lot of other topics that we're going to get brought up tonight. And you shut your fucking mouth, Woodall! Just God
tell me, tell me what it's called. It sounds dirty, and I like
it. It's called the Suck Cycle. I cannot claim to be the original author of this idea. I think that my uncle was the first one who brought the topic up, and he was saying that, like, and it was specifically in reference to the Chicago Bulls. We were watching a game one time, my family was watching the game, and this was back in the days when they were not doing so good, and my father was a little upset.
Michael Jordan had left?
Yeah, no, this is in 2002, 2003, which is, like, the nadir of the Chicago Bulls franchise. When they were, like, I think they won, like, 11 games that season, maybe.
I don't claim to know enough about sports.
Terrible fucking season. Anyway, my uncle said, you know, it's just the suck cycle. Things start out, they either get bad or they get good, but you're not going to completely suck or completely be great for a long time. Really, it's a, you know, it encompasses the whole ideas of, you know, entropy and things building up progressively and coming back down. Everything was created must be destroyed. Yeah. But I think it also has a application in the way that we live. Because we have a circadian rhythm, which follows us throughout the day, you know, from our day to night and, you know, how much activity we do. And we have a seasonal rhythm that affects every person individually over the course of the year. But I feel like I'm just looking at, like, bigger meta cycles here, you know. I think that every person has their own suck cycle.
Okay.
You know? Where, cause,
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of people that suck.
I know a lot of people who have had a suck cycle that's lasted for the entire time that I've known them.
Yeah. I think...
I'm not going to name any names.
I know one of them.
Like I said, I'm not going to name any names because these people know who they are. But that's the thing is that, like, I'm not calling them out. I'm not saying, like, you're a piece of shit because nothing's ever gone right in your life. Ha ha. But no, I'm saying it's like...
That would be so awful to laugh at them.
I know.
It's when it's like, outside their control.
They're just like going like a fucking... live broadcast with a list of people, and it's like we have all these terrible things that happened to them. It's like, haha, fuck you, because this happened to you, therefore you're a bad person.
John Smith, your father died. Ha, you suck.
Fuck you, John Smith, you obviously deserved it. It's like, this is monstrous. But you know, I don't know, it's just,
no, I mean, I can definitely get behind that. Well, perfect example, we can relate this to entertainment, as we tend to do. Look at, you know, major motion pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. You compare them to television right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a constant cycle if you watch the history of these two mediums.
Yeah.
Where when one tends to be bad, the other tends to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, TV is on top and major motion picture, for the most part, is on a downswing.
Mm-hmm.
You have your peppering of good films in there, but the vast majority of what comes out is complete shit right now. Just is. We know. Plain and simple. And, you know, eventually that will flip.
Yeah.
Thus showing that, you know, the suck cycle does exist.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
That I found amazing? But, and it's something that you always took for granted but never really appreciated until you're confronted with it face to face.
Yeah, sure.
The other night, I was trying to find some of the old Marx Brothers radio shows. By the way, I would just like to mention right now, if anyone listening, all three of you, knows anywhere where I could find a DVD or VHS or Laserdisc copy of the Otto Preminger film Skidoo, in which Groucho Marx plays God and smokes weed... tell me, because I want to see that film. I've heard it's bad, but I don't care and I want to see it.
You mean the internet doesn't have it?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Well, God, you're ignoring a major resource.
Yeah, no, I'm not ignoring a major resource. I'm just lazy.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, like I was saying, I was listening to an old Marx Brothers radio show, and man, like literally the first 2 minutes of the thing was a commercial for Standard Oil.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of forget, you're like, I can't believe that. Then it's like, oh, wait, no, every entertainment medium that we watch today is saturated with advertising because that's how it's been. As far back as we've had electronic media, and I'm sure even before that, you know, we've had sponsorships and advertisements. Speaking of which, if there are any of you local or major businesses who would like us to review or shout out your products on air... just let us know. Send us an email at latpeed.gmail.com. But seriously, consumer whores disgust me.
I swear, folks, that's the last time we're going to sit here and say that we're looking for sponsorship. I promise.
Consumer whores.
I do like good whoreship.
Whoreship. It's a lost art like penmanship.
It truly is.
It really is, though.
Now, you know, back in the day, you had, like, big, lovely establishments that had rules that governed them, and people were clean for the most part, and, you know, there was all this great stuff. Now, you just walk down to Sepulveda, and someone comes up and says, you have a cigarette? I'll pay you a sucky, sucky. And you say, no, I don't want that. And then you hand them the cigarette because you're a nice guy. And the next thing you know, you got crabs.
Mickey, that was me asking for you for a cigarette like a couple of minutes ago.
You took my joke and you had to take it one step further.
I'm sorry for telling you, not telling you that I had crabs, okay? Jesus.
Ugh.
What the...
Show me your suck cycle.
Hey-o! By the way, I really want to talk about the Game of Thrones.
Did you actually want to talk about the?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about this.
I am down. Spoilers ahoy! For those that haven't seen,
Jon Snow dies.
God,
okay,
damn it, Jason! I was trying to ease them into
the
it.
The book came out like 5 fucking years ago. You have no excuse.
Not all of us have read the book.
The statute of limitations on spoilers is fucking over. I don't give a shit.
All right, well, now that you just kind of raw dog straight in there without any lube,
I'm sorry.
No, dude, no reason to be sorry, because, I mean, I'm really fucking disappointed in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do I believe he's fully dead? No.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I...
Kit Harington hasn't left that show
yet. Oh, of course.
It's not going to happen, especially because now we know that Melisandre is in Castle Black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull.
Jon
Snow comes back as He-Man.
he turns Ghost into the fucking Green Tiger and rides him in battle.
I would love to see somebody should write He-Man novels, but in the style of
Game of Thrones,
Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, this season did not wow me. I had, like, 2 moments where I was actually dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
The writing, I feel, has become so subpar for this season.
Well, can I say something about that?
Please.
It's because the latest book in the Song of Ice and Fire series, I thought it was dull as dishwater.
Fair enough.
I thought it was really dull, boring book, and as a result,
will elaborate why?
Because all of the main expositionary stuff, you know, all the big exciting battles and all that stuff happen in the first couple of books.
Right.
The last book is a lot more dedicated to intrigues. Now, here's the thing, I don't mind intrigue at all, and in fact, I think if it's handled well, it can, you know, be even more riveting than seeing battle scenes. But the thing is that book is a tome, okay? I have not even, like, I gave up on reading it because it was so dense. You know, some of the chapters in the fourth book, so mostly Sam's chapters, I'm not calling Sam out or anything like that, but all you need to do is have one chapter that says he's on a fucking boat. You could have just written that as the every one of his chapters. Like, yes, he's still on the fucking boat.
Samuel Tully?
Yeah.
As in Jon Snow's friend?
Yeah.
When's he on a boat?
In the books, man. This is what I'm talking about.
Doesn't correlate to me.
I know. But I have a different experience of Game of Thrones than you do because I fucking burn through all the books. Because I was like, I'll watch the show after I finished reading it. And then I was like, and then I got to the 5th one and promptly stopped.
I'm sorry, you did that noise and all I could imagine. Because for those of you at home, he made that noise and slid his hand forward in a fast motion. And it honestly looked and sounded like what you ejaculating must be.
I mean, you were the one who offered the cigarette, okay? Jeez. Can we just, acknowledge this happened and just put it behind us?
Never. We've done it. It's done now.
I'm gonna drink more of this beer.
How's it going for you?
It's bitter, man.
Is it bitter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, real bitter? Is it a delightful bitter? Describe the bitterness to the crowd.
Like, I think that, an English plowman would, drink a couple hearty drafts of this before going home and beating his wife and children.
So it's about as bitter as Gollum's cum.
You didn't have to offer him a cigarette, too, Mickey.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, just sucky sucky, man.
Dude, like that. I cannot think of few things worse than getting a blowjob from Gollum. have you seen those teeth?
I'm just saying, put a cock ring on it. He'll treat you like it's precious.
Oh, God. You know someone has made one of those devices.
Oh, God, yes.
A one ring, you know, for the, you know.
A one ring cock ring?
I refuse to say that word, but yes.
call it what it is. A cock ring's a cock ring. And for a hobbit, that probably would fit.
Like, oh god, I'm not even gonna delve into this.
Oh, come on, you never wondered?
No, I haven't.
I feel like it's kind of like a midget. It would still be proportional to their human size.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could sex a hobbit, even if I wanted to.
Well, we as normal-sized people probably couldn't. We'd probably rip it in half.
Where did our lives go wrong that we... And as I look to the Fellowship of the Ring DVD set right here on the table.
Yes.
Man, did you ever see Lord of the G-String?
I did. I'm glad we all saw it.
Like every male of a certain age in our generational cohort stayed up to watch that.
That had access to Cinemax.
Yeah, we all stayed up to watch that on Cinemax, and I think we were all kind of disappointed.
I don't know. The lesbian orgy at the end was pretty hot.
I mean, yeah, that was, you know, but that's the thing.
Well, in the grand scheme review of bad, you know. Would you call that a parody?
Yeah, it's a parody, yeah. Porno. It,
as far as bad porno parodies go, Lord of the G-String is definitely not the worst one I've seen.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I've never actually watched a
porno for porno. For gratification?
I've never done it.
Power to you, man.
I feel like I'm missing something, but...
Here's the thing. Porn in itself can be a major entertainment point if you come at it from whatever direction you come at it with. No pun intended. I mean, you have your casual where you're just sitting there like, hey, I just need a rub one out. I need a little inspiration. And so you just watch a 5-minute clip. But there are other ones like Lord of the G-String where they know what they are. They know they're a porno and they know they're a parody. So they actually make some decent jokes. And I'll be honest, some of the best comic writing I've ever seen was in those movies.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you have to... Hey, cat, don't bite my feet.
Shoot, cat.
The cat was biting my feet. I don't know, man. It's like, there's just something about like, you know, American pornography that's just really unappealing.
So what, you like Asians?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know, it's just something about it. I mean, like, besides the whole, all the politics of, you know, the porn, and there's all kinds of people have opinions about that, but it's just like, it's just so unappealing. Like, because every movie is just like, it's just some, you know, some woman with a lot of plastic surgery getting railed by some bald guy with bad tattoos. That's what it all comes down to. That's all that it is.
Meh. Debatable.
I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of fakes. I like natural.
I'd honestly just... I'm a fan of natural. I just rather, instead of, you know... Instead of just watching porn anymore, I wish I could just, you know, have naked women around me all the time.
Well, I feel like almost everyone wishes that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, you know something that's been kind of on my mind lately?
Naked women?
Well, besides that, I've been hearing a lot and seeing a lot on the social justice websites and on Tumblr and whatnot, talking about the, that is a car outside.
Wow.
Wow, that sub was really unnecessary. Anyways.
Oh, since we're going to be talking about this, can I just say it right now?
Say what?
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
But for
reals. Okay. No. One of the things that's been kind of bugging me lately, and bugging might be the wrong word, but anyways, is the major talk about whitewashing in Hollywood.
Okay.
Now, before we get into this conversation, I acknowledge whitewashing exists. Mm-hmm. It does. It, you know, white casting is the major casting in almost every major Hollywood motion picture. Just throwing that out there. However, the thing that's been bugging me lately is how much you see a ton of, like, typical white collegiate and high school level kids saying that Hollywood is whitewashed. And it raised a little bit of a question in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The thing they're demanding is more films be cast with a colorblind, I guess, casting, or... You know, why can't people of color have more prominent roles?
Right.
Would color washing really be a problem that could eventually come out of this?
I mean, let's be completely frank here.
Of course.
And I think this is something that, you know, everybody at home needs to be reminded of. 70% of the people in America are white.
It's true.
This is an incontrovertible fact. Like, I don't give a fuck, you know, what you think about anything else. The fact is that a huge majority of the people who live in this country are white. And no matter what you do, for the most part, white people are going to be in the majority.
It's true.
And I think that some people need to come to terms with this fact. I'm not saying that this is, you know, this in any way justifies not hiring, you know, black people or Asian people or Hispanics or Native Americans. I'm just being completely honest.
Yes. And let's reiterate, you are a person of color, Jason.
No, yes, even though I identify as white and in the wake of the Rachel Dolezal fracas.
I mean,
editor's note, no, I don't actually, but, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
The point that I'm trying to make is, like, look, I understand that, you know, people are now very sensitive to issues of race, and I think that you know, young people who are coming up right now, who are in our age range, I think, are a lot more sensitive to these issues, probably more than any other group of people have been since, like, 1960s.
I agree. Okay?
And I think that it's the idea that there's going to be such a vast change in the way that Hollywood does business that in a few years' time you're going to see majority-minority casts in movies, I think, is... I think this is never going to happen. I'm just going to go, this is never going to happen. You know?
I mean...
It's not happening.
No. Honestly, I'll jump on there with you. And I definitely agree to that fact. But at the same time, I disagree on certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be based on genre to genre.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, look at comedy right now.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of comedic stand-ups and... Mm-hmm. A good majority of comedic actors that are getting a lot of play mm-hmm. as major notable characters
mm-hmm.
are actually black or, you know, of some other descent.
Yeah, but I mean, you know why? Well, they're funny. They're funny. That's why.
What I'm saying. Yeah, it's based on their talent. Granted, it's not based on just, oh, he's black, so put him in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the fact that we're getting into a more progressive thought process
mm-hmm.
makes people open their eyes a little bit more as to who is funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, oh, well, it's a new generation. That means that all black people are now funny. I mean, everyone of every color has always been funny at some point.
Can I give an anecdote from my own life that is kind of relates to this? I once was taking a writing course, and someone asked me, Jason, why do you write all of your characters as white? To which I replied, I don't. Why do you assume all the characters that I wrote are white? I don't get it. Every time I have looked at a script and they had a character who explicitly is black, without fail, if it's written by a white person, without fail, it wind up that he talking like this, man. He's some jive talking guy who don't put no G's at the end of his words whenever he's talking about verbs. And shit like that. I'm just like, man, like, look, I understand that you're trying to convey something about the character, but that is, like, that is, you know, come on.
I agree.
If you want, like, let's be completely honest here. If you want a black man to play that role, most black people have that accent and will speak in that way. You don't need to write it into the script. You don't need to write it in that he's, like, he's shucking and jiving all over the fucking, you know, it's just unnecessary. And people, you know, it's just this weird, it's this, okay, I'm rambling, but the point I'm trying to get at is that there is this bizarre double standard for minorities in entertainment, which is that if you try to have any serious portrayal of life as a minority in this country, it is almost necessary that you have to touch on issues of racism or being an immigrant or America's racist legacy. And look,
because that is typically who the underclass is.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, you can't get away from the fact that people identify with this. However, it is a really disgusting double standard, because if you have a story that doesn't include any of that stuff, they're going to be like, why aren't you writing something that's true to the lives of people? It's like, fuck you. I don't understand why they think that every minority has the same exact lived experience. It's bullshit. It just pisses me off so much. it's, you know, I really appreciate the fact that all these people have taken up the mantle of social justice in the past couple of years, but I feel like there's also this tendency to break everyone into a group of white and not white. And I think that is incredibly harmful because it really, you know, marginalizes the experiences that so many different groups of people from so many different walks of life has, you know? And even in that category, like among black people, people from the West Indies, you know, like Jamaicans and Trinidadians, they don't consider themselves to be African American. They're West Indian. Yeah,
it's not where they're from.
Completely different cultural context.
Yeah.
But if and everyone who looks up on the street sees that they have dark skin, says you're black. You know, you're African American. I've heard people of black people in Britain being called African Americans by white British people. It's fucking. It's ridiculous. Insane.
Yeah. Well, then let me just stick a little something in there to punch back a few spaces. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about writers that write a character as black, or and you had the person that asked you know, why do you always write your characters as white people? Can I just say, what about Luther?
What about Luther?
Do you know the story about Idris Elba and why he took the role and everything like that?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Nowhere in the script,
mm-hmm.
the pilot script, does it say he is a black detective.
Mm-hmm.
At no point is he ever labeled with any race.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the writer, for all intents and purposes, he wrote it as a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Luther read it, or Luther, the guy that plays Luther.
Idris Elba is Luther.
He is. Idris Elba reads the script, and because it doesn't note any race, mm-hmm. he's like, this is a very well done script. I don't feel like it's patronizing in any way. And he went for it.
Mm-hmm.
The writer sat there, watched him do his audition, and said, send the rest home. We're taking him.
Mm-hmm.
That was a role that was not labeled in any way. And mm-hmm. in doing so, made it a stronger script.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, is that there is a... that's a really good story, and I feel like it doesn't happen nearly enough in reality. But I like that because... Here's the thing, is like there is a difference between looking at people without regards to race and ignoring race.
Excuse me. Sorry.
It's okay, man. Don't worry. We're talking about anything, you know, important or anything. Fine. No, it's fine.
Continue with your thought, Jason.
The point I'm trying to make is, like, there is a difference. Like I said, there's a difference between not, there's a difference between looking at people, like, without regards to race and ignoring people's race.
Agree.
I hate when people, like, the thing that drives me up the fucking wall is when people say, I don't see color. It's like, you should. Like,
yes.
This is an important part.
Why don't you see
color? Why don't you? And the other thing that drives me fucking crazy is, like, I don't care if you're black, blue, or green. It's like, there's no blue and green people. There's no blue and green people. Except for the fucking Smurfs and maybe the Hulk.
The Hulk.
And fuck the Smurfs. Those communistic bastards.
They really were communists.
They really were. You know what, man?
I still say that Papa Smurf was Hitler.
Well, then wouldn't he be like Stalin or Lenin in this analogy?
No, yeah, I guess in this analogy. But I'm just saying.
I don't know. Dude, French comics are so weird.
They are.
Did you ever read, like, Asterix or Tintin when you were a kid?
I tried, and, you know, I just could not.
Yeah, they're very different from American comics.
Yeah.
Because in a way, it's like, it's almost kind of like a storybook.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But it not quite. Well, Tintin was always presented to me as a storybook.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I was unaware of it being a comic until I was older.
I guess Tintin was a storybook, wasn't it?
It was presented that way for the most part.
Yeah.
In America, at least.
I'm just confused. I'm just confused because I was thinking of the Tintin TV show that used to come on.
Rin Tin Tin?
No, Tintin. There was a Tintin TV show that
was
used
there?
To... Yeah, there was.
I don't remember that.
It used to come on Nickelodeon.
Oh.
It was like right after Nick Jr. finished airing around like noon.
Oh, see, I was more typically more of a Cartoon Network kid, with the exception of early Nickelodeon, like Ren and Stimpy, Rocko's Modern Life.
Dude, I didn't
Real Monsters.
I didn't have Cartoon Network until I was like 10 years old. It was all Nickelodeon for me growing up.
Hey, right on, man. Power to you, I guess.
Rocket power to me.
Rocket power to you.
Mm.
But I feel awkward about this.
We are riders on a mission. Got to stockpile ammunition. Rocket Power.
I don't think that's how the...
That's how the theme song goes. They were actually... They weren't actually extreme athletes. They were actually doomsday preppers.
The whole time. So that's why it was like it was.
As the ancient Hawaiians used to say, make sure to keep all of your wealth in gold because you never know when the black helicopters are going to come for you. Tito was actually the he was actually the chairman of Ron Paul's campaign in 2008 in the state of Hawaii.
You're kidding me, right?
No.
The voice actor was, or
no, the character Tito from Rocket Power was the chair of Ron Paul's campaign in Hawaii in 2008.
That's a big pull.
It is. It's a shame he didn't win.
I can stare at you, but that just creates dead air.
I know, but it's funny because they're wondering what we're doing. Like, you could have stabbed me for all, you know, with the knife that is currently sticking out of my abdomen and I'm bleeding out. If anyone is hearing this, please send help. Please send help.
And now I get his weight in gold.
You're not going to get shit, bro. You're getting nothing.
So, let's, now that we're done talking about that, clearly. How was your weekend?
You know what?
I had an interesting weekend.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. I had a pretty nice weekend, actually.
Yeah, did you?
I got to see a friend who I haven't in a little bit, and we hung out and watched a lot of Bob's Burgers.
That's a good time.
It was a good time, yeah.
Yeah. For those that haven't picked up on this, it's only been 3 episodes, so go back and listen to episode 1 and you'll know this. But I drive for Lyft. And this weekend, I actually had a very interesting weekend.
Tell us.
Well, this weekend, one of my first rides that I got on Saturday was up in the Hollywood Hills.
All right. Schwanky.
Yeah, surrounded by mansions on Mulholland Drive.
Schwanky, schwanky, schwanky.
I pull up to the location.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said I was there. Right. They said, okay, well, can you drive to the top of the driveway? No. The driveway, let me paint you a little word picture here. The driveway is this nice curving serpentine shape cut into a small hill surrounded by bamboo that is taller than God knows how tall. So I drive up this driveway, pretty sure I'm driving my way up to my death because I'm pretty sure that's how Jason Bateman lured his victims in. And I get to the top. I pull up. I send them another text saying, hey, I'm your driver. I'm here. Please come on out. Now, it's taking them a little while. So I notice that there is a little bit of a parking space next to their SUV. Nice big comfy SUV that I'm not sure why they're not driving. I pull into this space, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and out comes what I would only describe as a gargoyle of plastic surgery. Lips bigger than any old, you know, blackface cartoon you've ever seen, only she was white with a tan that made her look like a brick from a fireplace. Hair bleached out to the color of the sun, and tits to her chin. Now, I'm not one to judge. If that makes you feel good about yourself, power to you. But she gets in the car and immediately just looks at me. And I say, hello, how are you doing? I'm fine. Okay, cool. Clearly they don't want to talk. Now, you have the option on Lyft to put in your destination so that I, as the driver, will know where I'm going. She chose not to do this. So I say, where is it we're heading to, ma'am? Oh, we're going to Sunset and La Cienega. Well, that's great. Do you have an exact address? No, just that intersection. Okay. Sure. Why not? I'll humor you. So it's at this point that I need to get out of the parking space and down the driveway. Well, I hadn't taken into account that while I was doing my multi-point turn to get into this parking space, there wasn't enough room to continue said turn to do a full multi-point turn around. So now I have a very rich trophy wife that is very obsessed with the ivy that has naturally grown, but she claims to have pruned and planted herself, running the entire length of her driveway that I have to now back down. So as I'm backing down, I keep hearing, oh my, I'm like, ma'am, I'm okay. I've driven for a long time. I know my vehicle. I'll be able to get us out of this. It took us 5 minutes to get out of that. And I finally get out of there. And I say, okay, now we're going to continue on. So we continue on. Now, I'm up in the hills in a portion I've never been to. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of guessing at how to get to Sunset in La Cienega at this point. I find my way to Sunset. Turn left. We get to the intersection of La Cienega. She is now on the phone speaking Russian to someone. And I go, okay, ma'am, we're at the intersection. The light's red, but it's going to turn green soon. Where do you want to go? Turn right. Okay, so clearly you know where we're going now. I turn right onto La Cienega. We continue on down. Okay, ma'am, what should I be looking for? Just keep going. It's at this point that I realize I may still be a murder victim because I truly have no idea where the fuck I'm going.
She's taking you to the organ harvesting center.
Well, she's speaking Russian in the back seat. She's leading me to someplace that only she knows the destination of. And I can't understand most of what she says because most of what she says is that little doll voice that those trophy wives get spoken through basically permanent duck lips of collagen.
This is why the rest of the world hates us.
We get to her destination, and instead of looking out the front windshield and going, oh, it's right up there at the end of the block, we get right next to it. She goes, stop! And yells it, and I have to slam on the brakes in the middle of La Cienega. For those that don't understand, La Cienega is a major thoroughfare through Hollywood. And she gets out and says, thanks for the ride. You're about 3 stars. 3 out of 5 stars. She tells me to my face that she's going to give me that.
Did she tip you?
No. Hold. You just created feedback with your laugh, and it stopped recording for a second.
Wow.
Continuing on, sorry about that. Jason just laughed so loud he blew the mic out for a second.
Rich people not tipping, what a trip.
I know, she did not tip me and told me to my face she was giving me 3 out of 5 stars. No reason. No reasoning why. Other than her clicking off in her fucking Kardashian-sized heels into what I can only assume was a Russian plastic surgeon. Because it was all in Russian on the exterior. Couldn't understand what the fuck it said.
You know what, man? I have to say. I had, for a really long time in my life, never actually met a rich person.
Really?
Yes. Because even, you know, as I was growing up, everyone who I encountered was neither very rich nor very poor. Everyone was middle class because I lived in a rural suburban area.
Okay.
Yes. As a result, I met nobody, as far as I knew, who was either very wealthy or very poor. There were some variations on either side of it.
But variations? Why you gotta go racial again?
Oh my god. Oh my god. You just went there. Oh my god. Mickey just went there. Oh my god. Why did you just say that? You just derailed my whole story. Now I'm gonna sing a song to you, Mickey, about how I never met any rich people until I was a grown man, and then I went to college and found they were all rich and acted like assholes, but then I found that poor people are assholes too, and so are middle class people. Everyone is an asshole. They're an asshole.
You should have an illustrious career in singing.
I should have something. I don't know.
Well,
I want this to become lucrative enough that I can make people I can entertain people for a living.
I agree. I would love that. But in the meantime, we have to start checking out other mediums. And as we have this open pulpit, Jason and I have been working on some stand-up comedy. If you like the lack of comedic styling here and you want to hear us actually make you laugh, and you're in the Hollywood area, Jason and I will be performing at open mic at Liquid Zoo coming up within the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dates will be finalized relatively soon. We'll also be doing the open mic at the Comedy Store following Liquid Zoo, which will be Jason's debut to the stand-up comedy world.
Wow, way to put me on blast like that, Mickey.
Yeah, you know, I gotta let people know so when they come to see you that they know what to expect.
I don't know if anyone who is gonna come to see me based on the strength of this podcast alone.
Hey, listen, you don't know. Either way, even if we only have two listeners and the two of them live in the Hollywood area and they want to come see us, come check us out at Liquid Zoo on July 12th. We will be performing at the open mic. It should be fun.
I hope it is. God, I hope it is.
And pretty soon, for those that like a more story-based comedy styling, we will be starting our very own LatPe YouTube channel to accompany the podcast mm-hmm. with different comedic skits that we will be writing under the comedic duo mm-hmm. working title of Carpenter and Wood.
Yeah, don't we have a Vine, too?
We haven't updated in a couple of months. We haven't updated in a couple months, but we will be jumping back on the Vine train once we get the YouTube train started, I believe.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just gonna start recording Vines.
You should.
Whenever the fancy strikes me.
You know what? I like that idea, and we should create a dedicated LatPe Vine.
LatPe Vine.
Yeah.
Hi, this is my new associate, LatPe Vine.
LatPe Vine. Sounds like a porn star.
LatPe Vine. This is my friend, LatPe Vine. Hi, how you doing, Lat? My name is Dick Shetland. Hi, Dick. Good to meet you. I'm LatPe Vine. So where do you come from, Mr. Pavine? I come from Pomona. Exquisite. I'm from Pasadena. Are you? Yes. Would you like to continue this conversation over a gin fizz? I don't drink alcohol. I only
drink rectally.
What the fuck, man? I was just trying to make a nice wholesome joke, and you talk about putting fucking booze in your asshole. People, dude, man.
People do that.
People do that,
and they die typically from it.
I
mean, that's like good. Instant alcohol poisoning.
Dude, if you are stupid enough to try to put like liquor into your bum to get drunk faster, you deserve your
death. We all know if you're going to do that, you don't do the full enema. You just soak some tampons in it and then stick them up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Fucking just someone going out and giving themselves an enema with a bottle of Bowman's vodka. I can't think of a more humiliating way to die. People be laughing at your funeral.
I know. If you're gonna go out that way, at least spring for some Grey Goose.
Like, think about how. Like, I'm just gonna announce this for all college students out there who ever considered putting liquor into their ass to get drunk faster. Think about your parents at your funeral. Think about how upset they're going to be that the fact that you died not because of an accident or a disease or anything else, but because you wanted to put booze in your rectum to get drunk faster because drinking it by mouth wasn't quick enough for you, you drunky fuck.
Life lessons with Jason Carpenter. The more you know.
Dude, don't put alcohol in your ass. How hard is that? Like, literally, like, in every culture in the world, can you think of a single culture with, like, yes, in order to become a man, you must inject the booze straight into your rectum? Like, you know why we don't know about that culture? Because they all died of fucking alcohol poisoning from putting liquor in their asshole. That's why. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these people did not stick around for very long. Like, even the guys who put fucking bullet ants in a glove and, like, you know, put that on their dick are like, man, those guys are fucked up.
Oh, fucking A.
Don't drink through your ass. Don't do it.
It's not South Park.
It's not South Park, and you're not cool. I mean, you're not cool anyway, but that's beside the point. Oh, sick fucking burn.
Well, speaking of booze, we're hitting that special time of night where, Jason, let's get a final review before you look and see what you've been drinking. Take that nice last sip. Did you kill that sucker? Is that what you're doing?
It's barbaric.
Jason basically just killed that bottle and now is grimacing.
No.
So what's your final review?
I think this is, I actually, you know, despite being very bitter and hoppy, I enjoy the taste. However, I'm not sure that this is a beer that I would necessarily order.
Okay.
It was a nice surprise.
Well, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
the final question that we need to ask at the end of this night. Is the beer in the bag a high-class, respected beer, or is it a joke left only for the bottom dregs of college?
You know, I'm gonna lean towards... I'm cheating a little bit here, but I feel a printed label on it, so I'm going to say that it's probably a decent beer.
All right, you think it's a decent beer? Pull it out and tell the audience.
Oh, interesting.
Jason, you have been drinking the Hobbit Limited Edition Gollum Precious Pils. Was not an ale, it was a pilsner, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Produced by Fish Brewing Company.
Yep.
Interesting.
You were not drinking high-class beer in the least. Welcome to the joke beer.
Wow. I don't know if the people at Fishtail Ales would like you saying that, Mickey. This is interesting. It's really bitter and hoppy, and I'm like, I would drink like a small amount of this, but drinking a large amount of it is like, I don't know if I would. Whoa, holy fuck.
What?
That is 9% alcohol by volume.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong one. My Three-Eyed Raven is only 7.2.
The Gollum Precious Pils. The tale of Gollum. Once a hobbit named Smeagol, Gollum's body and soul have been poisoned by the power of a small, plain gold ring that he has kept hidden deep in a dark cavern within the Misty Mountains. Unaware of the true nature of the ring, Gollum knows only that it is more precious to him than life itself.
You know, with the way they phrase that, it sounds almost like Gollum is like the Christopher Walken of the Hobbit universe, and he's had to smuggle this precious ring in his dark cavern for years and has been consumed by poisoning from the metal.
Remember, kids, you can put a watch in your ass.
Just not the one ring.
Or vodka. I think that moves us right along to our closing segments.
It does.
So, I don't remember what we called it, but this is the part where we review it and endorse a movie.
Random recommendations of the week, I believe we are calling it.
Yes.
So, Jason, do you have any random recommendations of the week?
Yeah, I do.
Any films, TV shows that may elude most people?
I'm going to say this right now.
Sure.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day is on Netflix.
It is.
You should all go back and rewatch that movie because it is a crowning masterpiece.
It actually is, yeah. It holds up really well. American
cinema. It is brilliant. If you ever find yourself watching a movie and saying, you know, oh, well, I wonder where that came from, watch Terminator. It probably came from that.
Yeah? Okay.
Reacquaint yourself with the classics.
I agree. Well, I can for my recommendation of the week, I can actually keep in the sci-fi vein. This is a movie that got a lot of, you know, overlooks
mm-hmm.
when it came to most of the people that, you know, poo-pooed it.
Mm-hmm.
But my recommendation is Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer, for those that are unaware of it, stars Chris Evans, Captain America. Along with a relatively good star-studded cast.
And directed by a South Korean director, right?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
This is a futuristic, post-apocalyptic tale of the last survivors of a great freeze that now all live on a train that runs an entire circuit around the world in the course of a year. Now, the rich stay at the front, the poor dregs of the world stay at the back, and then eventually the poor at the back decide to revolt, and they take the train.
The Hunger Games on wheels.
Better than that, yeah. But all I gotta say is Chris Evans' big speech that he has right at the end, I'm not gonna spoil anything about it, but honestly, it was probably the best award-winning speech that didn't win any awards of last year. Dude, it's a fantastic fucking movie. I cannot rate it any higher than I do. It's fucking amazing. Go see it.
Watch it.
I believe it was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is, but I know it's available for, I think, $10 at Target.
And just go watch more movies on Netflix. There's so many gems out there, guys. There's so many good movies.
And, you know, I want to open this part up since we're trying to get more fans involved. If you have any recommendations that you think are worthy of the end of the episode, we would be glad to read them. So go ahead and send your recommendations to latpih@gmail.com. LATPIH@gmail.com.
Or if you have any really shit-ass movies that you want us to review, send them to us as well, and we'll be happy to do it.
Hell, we might even do a special episode where we watch it and go along with it, just tearing it apart.
Oh, man, riff-tracking a movie? I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, you know, we could probably make an entire podcast out of just that.
Ooh, is that sowing the seeds of a future endeavor, Mickey?
That might be. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see.
All right.
But for now, and for Life and Times of a Peon in Hollywood, this is Mickey Woodall.
And Jason Carpenter.
Signing off.
Peace!